This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. All right, hey, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6 tonight and the next several weeks. We're actually going to cover all the things that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start a brand new series of thoughts called The Essentials. We're going to go through these six essentials that are listed here in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. All right. And hey, feel free, questions, comments. And we'll be having notes every week. So we're going to get quite a collection. And as always with the teachings, I want you to hear with two ears. I want you to hear one ear for you, just to help you in your faith and your walk and all that kind of thing. And then you hear with the other ear to help you in your ministry, to equip you to help with somebody else. To get them further along the path. So always equipping us to walk better, walk closer to Christ, and also equipping us to help somebody else. So just do that. All right, so the essentials. Let's talk about this. Let's read verse 1 through 3 of Hebrews 6. And it says, therefore, so you kind of know it's a summary of what has already been spoken. You can go back and read some of chapter 5. But he's surmising and summarizing right here. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So the Hebrews writer right here, he says that he wants us to have this foundation and not have to keep going back over it. Let's get this thing set and secure in our lives so he can build other things on our foundation, help us grow in Christ. But he lists six essentials. He calls them elementary principles right here. Six essentials that have to be established in our life if we're going to flourish as followers of Christ. Two of them we're going to cover tonight, and then we're going to go back into repentance again next week, Lord willing, I believe is how we're going to do it. So here's the six. Repentance from dead works is what it says. Faith towards God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection, and eternal judgment. It's what we just read right there. Okay, so kind of the way this is going to work. You got your notes there, right? Let me just coach you. And we'll do this quite often in our future studies. The yellow, everything in yellow tonight is going to be kind of your highlights, your fill in the blanks kind of deal. All right, so you just kind of follow along with me. All right, and you can keep these. And next week, Lord willing, we'll have some notebooks for you. You can just start collecting it, keeping it all together, all that good stuff. All right, so let's talk about repentance and faith. So there's several ways the Christian life is illustrated in Scripture, right? The tree that produces fruit. It's kind of what we're going off on, the tree of life of producing fruit. That kind of thing is our logo and our kind of mission here at the Grove. Then there's the sheep-shepherd relationship that's talked about with us and Jesus, that he is the good shepherd and we are his sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture, the Scripture says. Then we have the thing, there's several of them, but this is just a few. The grapevine. You got the idea that he is the vine, we're the branches, and he produces fruit out on the end of our branch. That's what he wants to do. And then we got the seed and the soil. Jesus talked about that. Then you got the athlete, training to win. We talked, maybe looked a little bit about that Sunday, the training part and training to win the race. Then we got this building analogy. It's kind of what he's going with here in Hebrews chapter 6. Your life is like building a house. It's like building a house. It's us working with God, working with His Word, working with the Holy Spirit, working with each other to build our houses, to build our lives, right? And you know, not just any house. God doesn't just want any house. He's in the process of building a temple. He's trying to turn you into a temple. It's not just any house. This is going to be a house that God can live in. That's what he's building us into a people that he can live in. So that's why he takes such care with you. C.S. Lewis has a great little illustration in some of his writings that he talks about. He said, you know, he takes a lot of care with us, but he's going to replace the windows. He's going to get everything straightened up. He's going to repair the cracks in the foundations because he intends to build a clean, a beautiful, functional, attractive, impressive, holy house. Because guess what? He intends on living there. He intends on living in you. That's why he takes such care. All right, so this life is like building a house. And the most important part of a house is the part you can't really see. It's the foundation, isn't it? That's the most important part. And what happens if the foundation is off, if the foundation is crooked, or if the foundation is faulty? What happens to the house? Does it matter how pretty the paint is on the wall if the foundation goes? It doesn't matter what kind of furniture you got in there. It doesn't matter how pretty everything is. If the foundation collapses, then the house is ruined, right? So the same is true with our lives. And that's what Hebrews 6 is talking about, these foundations that need to be laid and maintained in our life. All right, so now sticking with this building analogy, just follow this along. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. There's another analogy. We're fellow workers with God, partners with Him. You are God's field. That's another idea of analogy. You are God's building. That's what we're looking at. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. The day, what day is that? Well, that's Judgment Day, right? That's the day we stand before Him. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Now my point for all of that, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about right there about judgment and all the things, wood, hay, stubble, and all that kind of stuff. We could talk about a lot of that. But I want you to have the thought this that God's building you. Like you'd build a house, He's building you, because He intends on living in you. All right? Now, listen to this. Jesus talking again. Remember we talked in Sunday school, I believe, this past Sunday about the wise and foolish builder. Now, this is Luke's version of that same teaching. Jesus says this. This is Jesus talking. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house. There's the idea again. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Why would you dig deep to get to the rock? Well, because you don't want to build on that shifting ground, do you? That faulty ground, you got, and it digs deep. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. He didn't dig. He didn't dig deep. Now, when you're digging, you're removing something so that something better can go in its place, right? And spiritually, God does that to us as well. He takes all the things that don't need to be there so that what is there is what He can work with. Who built a house on the earth without a foundation against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So this idea of God building us, all right? So now, the first two foundations, these essential parts of our foundation, they're directly related to each other. This repentance from dead works and faith toward God. All right? So let's get an idea of what repentance is. There are two thoughts I want you to have towards repentance. And there's probably other things that we could say about it. And repentance is a big Bible word. It's really big throughout the prophets especially. It's simply this. To make a decision to turn and go the other way. That's one idea of it. Right, so like if you were to almost do like an about face, to make a decision, you're going this way, and to repent would be to turn and come back this way. Right? So that's the idea. Now our phrase is repentance from dead works. So that means I got certain things I'm doing in my life, and I'm going this direction, and when I repent from this kind of work that I'm going to, that means I turn and I do something different. You see what I'm talking about? Repentance from dead works. And it's not just that I turned from something, but I have put my faith in God. So I don't just turn from. Nobody can just quit. You got to quit for a reason. And you quit for the reason so that you can turn towards God, right? So that's why these two go together. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God. All right, everybody tracking with me? You good? All right. Now, this turning and about face that we do, it may or may not be, it may be emotional. That's not the point, though. It doesn't have to have any emotion in it whatsoever. A person can literally just make a decision and boom, turn. right? This is this idea to make a decision, turn to go the other way. In this case, what we're talking about, this repentance from dead works, is a decision to follow Jesus. To leave that dead life, or to leave that death and turn to life, right? Not so much a decision between heaven and hell right yet, although that may be the way it's framed up for us at times. And that heaven and hell certainly hangs in the balance right there. But when Scripture talks about us repenting, it's repenting so that we can follow Jesus. All right? Now it's interesting to me now, and we use this verbiage, and I've used it myself time and time again. But, you know, we ask people if they want to go to heaven when they die. You know, Jesus never asked anybody that. This is very interesting, isn't it? He never asked anybody that. Because he was focused on what are you going to do with your life today? You know, the afterlife is important. We got to take care of that. Heaven and hell are real. We got to take care of that. But what Jesus is called to salvation was not, do you want to go to heaven? Jesus' conversation was, follow me. Do you want to follow me? That was the call to salvation, right? All right. And thank God when we follow him, he leads us to heaven. We're thankful for that. All right, so now here's the way to see this repentance. It's my way. That's the dead works. That's the one I'm turning from. I'm turning from, I'm not going to be Frank Sinatra anymore. You know what I'm talking about? I did it my way. And I'm turning to God's way. That's the repentance from dead works my way toward God, to do it his way, to do life his way. All right? Or to do the world's way versus Jesus' way. And they're very, very different. Have you saw that? They're very, very different. All right, now listen to Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Astray from what? Well, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, for sure. Astray from the truth, from the path God has for us, the path of righteousness. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right. All right. So a second idea of repentance. So the first is that kind of about face thing, to turn and go the other way. The other idea is to have a change of mind. A change of mind which results in the changing of your life and your lifestyle. All right. So when somebody truly repents, there's not just a change of the direction of their life. There's a change in the way they think about life. Literally, the way they think about money, the way they think about life, the way they think about time, the way they think about people, the way they think about relationships. And now you don't all get all that at one time sometimes. But that is on the path, I promise you, for God to revolutionize the way you think about everything. Okay? All right, so Dallas Willard, I quote him a lot. I love his writings. He says that repentance is like this, to think about what you've been thinking about. You know, to have this change of mind, which results in a change of behavior. You know, this must happen every time we hear the word. You know, repentance is kind of an ongoing work in our life, isn't it? It's an ongoing thing. So, all right, because God's in the process of changing our thinking, the way we see life. You know, a change of mind. Jesus said this. This was his favorite sermon. Jesus' favorite sermon. He preached it everywhere he went, it seems. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, and he went to every synagogue around, saying this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. There's that word again. Repent. Repent. All right, so now let's plug in our definitions. Remember the two definitions now. So turned and go the other way. You're going the wrong way. Going the wrong way. Turn around. Turn the car around. Come on. This way. This way. Because the kingdom of heaven is right here. You're going away from me. You're going your own way. You're going the other way. Turn around and come back to me. That's pretty bold. Now plug in our other definition. A change of mind. Jesus steps in on the scene and he says, hey, all y'all been thinking wrong. It's time for you to change the way you think. Change your mind, because the kingdom of heaven has come right here through me. To change the way you're thinking. Now, so basically what Jesus is bold now. He steps in on the scene and he says, I want you to know that everybody, all of you, the teachers, regular folks, everybody else, the leaders, women, men, everybody, all of you, the God thing, everybody, all of you got it wrong. I'm telling you to change your mind and listen to what I'm saying, because I'm bringing the kingdom of heaven to you right now. That's bold now. Right, you see what he's saying? Okay. Same call we've got on our lives. And repentance is always connected to faith. And you'd give up that for something far better. Right, Jesus tells a couple parables. We don't have this in your notes right here, but a couple parables. Remember the parable about the merchant man? Jesus tells that parable about the merchant man who found this costly pearl. And then what did he do? Remember what he said he did? He went back and he sold everything that he had so that he could purchase that. So that's repentance. That's a picture of repentance. Is that he was willing to change his whole life and give it all up for that. And that's what Jesus is saying. I want you to change everything for me. Okay? Now that's a tall order now. And it took a lot of people a lot of time to figure this out. Like, what is he all about? So what does need to change? What can stay the same? Can I stay in this relationship? Or can I keep doing this? Or can I keep this job? Or, you know, I work for Herod, and Herod's not a really good man. Can I keep? See, all that's got to go through the filter, through the Jesus filter. So I'll see what he wants to change, what he wants to keep. Right? So this repentance. All right, you good? Now let's look and see what the apostles did with that word repent. And the idea of repentance. Acts 2, 37, 38. This is that day of Pentecost experience. And this is Peter talking to everybody. And when they heard this, the crowd heard this, heard Peter's preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brothers, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent." Wonder where he learned that word from. It sounds like Jesus now. Did. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that was the message of the apostles. Now let's look at another one right here. Peter again. Acts 3. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance seems to be real important for you to take the next step in your life, doesn't it? All right. Now, Paul's going to be talking to King Agrippa right here. Listen to what he says. He's going to put it all together right here. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," talking about what happened on the road to Damascus, "but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent." Here's what Paul said. This is the summary of my whole life and ministry. This is what I'm telling people to do. Repent. Remember, repent again. Turn. Change. Repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase right there? What would you think that would mean? Do works befitting repentance. What do you think that would mean? So I'm repenting from dead works so that now I can do good works. And basically, if a person says that they are a Christian, then there ought to be some fruit that would prove that, I believe is what he's saying. Right? All right? All right. Just a couple more things. Listen to what Paul says about this. Get a little bit more clarity. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." All right, so we've got to repent from our dead works. What are dead works? The phrase Hebrews writer says is repentance from dead works. What are dead works?
Sometimes people think the good deeds are going to get them to heaven.
Ah, there you go. Sometimes people think that they can just do good, be good, and it'll all turn out good. And then get to heaven and be all right with God. That's just not how it works. It's not how it works. What else? What else do you think?
Follow the rules.
A lot of people think you can just follow the rules. We call that legalism, don't we? The Pharisees kind of had that point. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said that your righteousness has to exceed that of the righteousness of the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees. Now that's a lot. But it's more than just following the rules. Jesus is not a follow the rules person. He's a follow me person. So now if you follow him, the rules are going to take care of themselves. Here's the deal. You can follow the rules and not follow Jesus, but you can't follow Jesus and not follow, you know, the truth. You're going to do the truth. All right. What else? Anything else? Those dead works. So we got to repent from the dead works so that.
Traditions.
Well, traditions, there's another idea. All that good works, traditions, and legalism all kind of gets wrapped up in people, almost like an unholy trinity sometimes. Manipulations. Trying to do works. A lot of people work the system. The whole world kind of operates on that. If I scratch your back, you're going to scratch mine. That kind of deal. And people use goodness or good works to manipulate situations, manipulate people. Every businessman knows how that works.
If you don't do it this way, we're not tithing our money, or we're not coming back.
There's all kind of stuff like that.
That's sin.
Mm-hmm. It's sin. It's like witchcraft. It's got that kind of twisted stuff. All right? So what God wants us to do is to leave all that dead works so that we can start producing good works. And see, good works is what I find out what's good for God, I'll do what's good for him. Mm-hmm. And then I find out what's good for you, and I'll do what's good for you to help you. All right? So, all right. Repentance from dead works. Isaiah 64, 6. But we all are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That idea, all our righteousnesses, all our attempts, again, just take off all the suffixes off of righteousness, righteousnesses. And you got right. All the things we try to do to make our situation, especially with God, to make it right, God says it's like filthy rags. Like filthy rags. Now this is graphic now, but in the Hebrew, the word filthy rags, we cleaned it up in the English because the guys who wrote our English Bible, they were all them Englishmen that were proper guys, like King James people and all that kind of stuff. They were proper. You know what that word right there, filthy rags, is? It's the rags that you use to clean yourself after you use the restroom. So that's how vivid that word is. It's that strong. The prophet says, that's what God thinks about you trying to make your life right. And I'm taken back to the garden. Immediately, when sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve saw themselves and they knew they were naked, and they did what? What did they do? What's the very first thing they did? They grabbed some fig leaves and they started covering stuff up. And that is a prophetic picture of all of humanity. What we all do when we sin, we try to make it right ourselves. That's that idea of this filthy rags. They use fig leaves. And they weren't even real secure about the fig leaves because they covered themselves with fig leaves. And then what'd they do? They hid. They hid from God, which is what sin always does to you. Makes you hide. And he says all of that righteousness, is all the things you're trying to do, is like filthy rags to God. All right? So again, the idea is this. The two ideas we're talking about tonight, we're done. All right? Is repentance from dead works. So by grace, we're only saved by grace. So you're not saved by what you do. You're saved because of what Jesus has done. Right? So we trust in his finished work. And it frees us up to be able to do good works. See, there's two fallacies. The one, to think that you have to manipulate God. God loves you. You don't have to manipulate him. And the other fallacy is to think that you can manipulate God. Really? Are you kidding me? So it's this idea of repentance from dead works, faith towards God. Okay? Let's make sure we just get that set laid in stone in our lives. All right. Questions, comments before we close? You good? So next week, Lord willing, we're going to get into some more of the idea of what repentance is, as far as like pulling some of the prophets and just kind of get this set in stone, because it's real important. It's real important. We'll make this a practice. All right, you good? Everybody good? All right, come on, let me pray for you. Oh, Lord, we need your help. Just pray you'd help all of us, Lord, to get this foundation stone right, that we would not try to work this thing out ourselves. We would throw ourselves on your mercy. We'd let you forgive us. We'd let you heal us. We'd let you help us. And Lord, we'd turn away from all the things that we got going on in order to turn towards you. Help us to know what that is, Lord. I pray for each one of us, Lord. This may hit all of us at different places and different times and things in our lives that are going on. It may hit us all differently. But Holy Spirit, I pray you just take this and just show us where we are and help us. Help us. And Lord, help us as we go out and with our family and friends and all the people we work with and come in contact with, Lord, that we would help them find the joy of that, to be released from all of that deadness so that we could experience your life. Help us to do that, Lord. Empower us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.